prayerful attention to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, and reading verse 25. Matthew, chapter 15, verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. This dear woman, she had come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we read of her, as it were, taking one step further and nearer to him. And we need to ask the question this night, which way are we moving in our footsteps as we would come to worship the Lord, to seek his face for our own never dying soul? We need to just prompt ourselves to remember how she came. She came, I say, with a personal need concerning her daughter, her daughter's trouble, her affliction, as we might call it, brought her closer and nearer to Jesus. It was the very vehicle that God had used to bring her out of the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And truly, how mysterious God does work in his ways to bring us nearer to him. We know that judgment nor mercy will have no effect upon the unregenerate soul. They will shrug their shoulders and say, oh well, these things happen to everybody. But I say, we pray that this dear soul, she came to the Lord, and her first approach to him was, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Friend, she came as a believer, and her first request was for him to have mercy upon her. And I would say this, have we ever come sincerely and truly, not with feigned words, to say, have mercy upon me? For if we need mercy, we are admitting that we are guilty, unworthy sinners. If we stood in a court of law and pleaded for mercy, the judge would immediately say they must be guilty. For if they were innocent, we'd say, not guilty, sir. But no, the Lord truly brings home by his Holy Spirit the power of conviction into the coming sinner's soul, whereby they are brought to say, have mercy upon me. And one might have thought, well, that will be good enough, that will be the end of the matter, and all will be well now. And to our own disappointment and dismay, from time to time, we seem to be frightened off by the circumstances that surround us, things that we did not expect. And so we find, oh, that this poor soul found that the disciples were not in favour of her being there. Friend, they were not right. They were not right. And if we are true disciples, oh, may God and make us of a right spirit, that we might be right before him. For they falsely accused her and said, "For she crieth after us. Send her away, for she crieth after us." But there was nothing of the sort. She cried unto Jesus. And what a mercy it is when by the Holy Spirit we are guided and directed to the right place. But had they gone to the disciples, why, it is clear, oh, that she would never have obtained any help whatsoever. But Jesus answers the disciples in a most decisive way when he said to them, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That may have been very cutting to the disciples. We're not told so, but it didn't appear by the way they spoke that they felt to be lost. Friends, it is a solemn thing to feel lost. It is a wonderful thing to be brought and made nigh by the Lord's power within our heart and life. Some 18 months ago, having met with a serious accident and in a poor state of health and mind, and felt so very low, I felt lost, and the Lord broke in with that hymn we sometimes sing, "Was it for sin, for mortal guilt, the Saviour gave his vital blood, for sin amazing, anguish felt, the wrath of an offending God? And shall I harbour in my breast, tremble my soul, at such a deed? This dreadful foe, this fatal guest, the sin that made the Saviour bleed. Come, glorious conqueror, gracious Lord, thy all-prevailing power employ. O come, and with thy restless word these hateful enemies destroy. My hope, my all, is fixed on thee, for thou alone hast power divine. O come and conquer, Lord, for me, and all the glory shall be thine." And oh, that came with such blessed force and to my poor soul, it lifted me up out of darkness and shone, I say, into my heart. I say, Jesus could make such, and did make such, a difference to that dear woman, and I trust he's made that difference to some of you here tonight. Then she came and worshipped him. The words of Jesus did not discourage her, but rather encouraged her. It shone with light into her pathway. And it does say, see, how she came and worshipped him. Men often speak of worship, don't they? Let us have worship. Let us go and worship. But do we worship? I say, God, aright. I'm sure this dear woman worshipped aright. And all the words of worship were contained in those three words. Lord, help me. Help me. I say, what a beautiful spot that is to worship. Where we get brought down to the bottom, bedrock bottom, having nothing. When we come face to face with Jesus and everybody else is excluded. The request, the desire, yea, to come before him is a matter between your soul and Almighty God. Lord, help me. As some dare even say, do they not, God helps those that help themselves. We'll leave that very point as such, but as I find it, as we find the saints of God have found it, when they cannot help themselves one little bit, they come to Jesus, and he does not help them a little bit. It helps them all the way. Lord, help me. And so we find him, the Lord answered him, and it seems a little ambiguous, a little difficult. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she did not fall out with that at all. No, she didn't. She didn't say, I'm offended at this. I am insulted. But she saw herself as one of those that came to the table to the partake of the bread of life for her never dying soul and said, yea, Lord. Yet the dogs eat, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I say, we have to ask, who is our master? Oh, the crumbs that fall from our own table. Are we a master to ourselves? Then undoubtedly we may have been treating ourselves very badly, thinking badly of ourselves by thinking too much of ourselves, knowing nothing of the words of Jeremiah when he speaks of the loving kindness of the Lord. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And what how true that is, that he loves his people, he loves them forever. So she said, yea, Lord, the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Some might say, I want to have more than a crumb. I want a good meal. Friend, you remember the Lord, he broke and blessed those loaves and fishes that were obtainable and made it sufficient for the multitude. And such indeed was the blessing, that there was more than sufficient for them. I say, Oh, by faith shall we not say, yea, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs from the master's table. Right. The Lord had answered her first petition. Why, Lord, help me. Help me. What a great mercy it is that the Lord should give to you and I a soft heart. A soft heart. Is there anything worse to be in dire trouble, a great need, and to have a hard heart? Friend, the heart that is hardened by sin and shame, I say, what an adversary it is to us, because it doesn't encourage us to come to the right place. But when the Lord comes and through the clouds and softens our heart, then I say, his word, it does sink into the heart. It's not like the rain upon the rock that just rolls off, but no, it's like the rain that penetrates into the earth. I say, great mercy when the Lord makes our hearts soft, that we desire to receive his word. I say, Lord, help me. Let me come then back to the beginning. When is it that the Lord helps a poor sinner? Why, the Lord had helped her already, had he not? Because he had drawn her unto him. The Lord had helped her already, because she had striven against a tide and storm, the face of opposition. Yea, the Lord had blessed her already with a desire to come aright before the Lord. What a great need it is to come before Jesus in a right spirit. Oh, so that we might be saved from that impudent spirit. It's like going to the earthly physician, the earthly doctor, and come in a challenging spirit, a hard spirit, an insulting spirit. And they'll say, if you've come like this to me, what have you come for? My friend, he would reject you. He'd cast you out and say, go and find another physician. Lord, help me, that I might have a right spirit, yea, to hearken unto thee, and to do what thou wilt have me to do. How you read the Syrian, who was a leper, why Naaman? He was of a wrong spirit when the prophet told him what to do. He said, why, I'm not going to do that. Why, the rivers of Syria are far better than these rivers here. Why, until one said to him with sanity, if the prophet had bidden thee do some great thing, would you not have done it? Oh, I say, he prevailed upon his superior, and he hearkened, and indeed he was healed and restored. I say, how we need to hearken, yea, to not our inferiors, but oh, to our superior. Lord, help me. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto Jesus, some might say, that name I hate, that name I detest, my friends. And so did Saul of Tarsus. But my friend, the Lord brought him unto him in a remarkable way. And he heard that voice from heaven saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? My friend, the man that was such an adversary of Jesus was made indeed a seeker after him, seeking for pardon and seeking for forgiveness. I say, Lord, help me. Friend, if I should call on every one of you tonight to repent, what would it avail? Repentance you need, but man cannot give another man repentance. He may change his mind, but repentance, you know, is a change of heart. Lord, help me. I have a hard heart. Oh, I say, Lord, help me, that I may be given a soft heart and truly repent. Lord, help me, that I might know thy love effectively in my own soul, that I might love thee. Lord, help me. Oh, I say, how we need God's help even to love him. And hast thou ever known a spark of love in thy heart to Jesus? Yet in the depths of your troubles and distresses, well, Jesus has told us this, that we love him because he first loved us. And you could never, never even have produced that little measure as you felt it to be towards Jesus without him putting it there. Oh Lord, help me. Put that in my heart, Lord, that I may be found a true worshipper of thee, that I might find him who is a God that is able to help in every time of trouble and in every need. Lord, help me. Are we reaping that which we have sown? I say, well, how distressful that is. What horror comes to us, what amazement. Why, these are the seeds that I have sown, and now I am reaping what I have sown. The word has said, be not deceived, God is not mocked, but whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Oh Lord, help me. The thought is more than we can bear, oh, at times. But Lord, in thy mercy, bring me out of the depths and have compassion, oh, upon me. My mind turns to Psalm 130. That surely is a beautiful psalm, for we read the psalmist saying, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice, let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. Lord, help me. Is this thy supplications tonight? But the verse that really came to my mind was that of verse 7, where we read, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. Oh, with him is plenteous redemption. Lord, help me. For, Lord, I need thy mercy. I need thy pardon. I need thy forgiveness, as we have been referring to. Lord, help me. I need, Lord, to be converted. My friend, it is the Holy Spirit's work that converts a poor sinner. It is he that turns you inside out and upside down, maybe, in your circumstances. But Lord, help me. Lord, do with me even as thou wilt, but have compassion and cast not my soul out of thy glorious light into everlasting darkness. Lord, help me. If I pursue the road that I have been pursuing, Lord, there's not a glimpse of hope for me. For surely I shall hear those words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, for I never knew you." Lord, help me, that I might be brought closer and nearer to thee. Oh, that I might be washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that every stain might forever be removed. Sins of the past, sins of the present, sins of the future too. Lord, help me. I cannot do anything of myself. I am totally dependent upon thee. Thou knowest how it is in a true marriage. Why, as we go on in life's journey together, we become more dependent upon one another as we merge with one another. And truly, the flesh is bonded to one to the other. Why, how much more so in spiritual things? You know, Peter, in closing his epistle, said, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ." Oh, I say, Lord, help me. Peter was not a stranger to this. He pointed and directed to the way, did he not? Yes, and I say, what a mercy if that charms your heart and soul and has a blessed attraction to us. Oh, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We can't examine one experience by another. For God will work in his own way. Sometimes he works instantaneously, but he works that very moment. And what I don't think seems to take another person years, it's done in but a short moment. Lord, help me, that I might know, that I might know that one day is as 1,000 years with thee, and 1,000 years as one day. Great mystery, isn't it, to us? But you see, Lord, help me. I'm a poor creature of time, but thou art a God of eternity. God of eternity. Oh, we might know that he is a God of eternal love to us. Lord, help me. Lord, I believe, oh, that thou art able to help me. And I've got nothing that warrants me to lay claim I am a child of God, but for a good hope through grace in his mercy. Lord, help me. How often we've come to those who are nearing their journey's end, and we've spoken of those things that are needful, to leave this world with, and they will just simply say, well, I hope I'm right, I want to be right, in a very casual way. But the Apostle Paul speaks of hope in a different way. He that separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Friend, what a mercy it is to that call by grace whereby we are brought to hope in him. I say, have you heard his voice? Has he spoken to you? I say, one thing I believe is sure, that if that is true, and I've no right to say it's not, you'll want to hear his voice again. Yes, you will. And more than that, you'll know that voice. It left a savour and a sweet smell behind it, that it could not be replaced by any poor creature. It's like indeed that the savour that was left on the handle of the door of the dear spouse in the Song of Solomon. When he withdrew himself, she felt a sweet attraction to him. She rose up and went about the streets, did she not? And was not her inquiry this? Seen him, whom my soul loveth. Lord, help me. Oh, that I might love thee and know this is real, know this is genuine, to know this is an aching void I have within me, that I cannot fill myself, and neither can this world, and neither can a fleshly religion. I say, oh, to feel that need within. It is Jesus, I say, that puts it there. And you're called to cry unto him, Lord, help me. Feeling so poor and so destitute in your prayers, when you hear others pray, you may well say, if I could pray like them, then I would feel different. Well, you may pray like them, but you may not feel any different. No, Lord, help me. Good Peter, you know, he didn't fully realize it at first. When Jesus spake to him, he said, Satan hath desired to have thee, to sift thee as wheat. That's close, isn't it? It's close. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. He didn't say it at the time, Lord, pray for me in this trying time. But I'm sure he certainly understood it later when he wrote those blessed epistles. Yes, for he said, having obtained the help of God, friend, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, O Lord, help me. O keep me by thy power in the right road. Keep me, Lord, from turning astray. Keep me, Lord, from being turned into another pathway and tempted to an easier life, that I may not suffer tribulation. Lord, help me to face the facts that are declared to us in his word, that in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And again, it is through much tribulation ye shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Friend, Lord, help me to accept thy word. Yes, how we need the Lord to do this. Alas, you know, my wretched heart has said sometimes, I wish that word there wasn't much tribulation, if it was just a little tribulation. But it seems to go on from one trouble to the other, seeming to testify, if you was a real child of God, a minister of his, your life would not be like that. Friend, it is, Lord, help me, because, oh, without his help, we cannot continue. We cannot go on. We cannot bear, indeed, the pathway. Lord, help me. We need his help by night and by day. We need his help in season and out of season. Lord, help me. I often use that little phrase with regard to married life. We have summered and wintered together, and we thank God for it. But I say, oh Lord, help me to summer and winter, oh, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, being entirely dependent upon thee, for Lord, none else can help me and bring me through. I say, Lord, help me. When all things militate against me, let me rephrase that, when all things go against me, yes, that I might be willing, yes, to bear all things for thy dear name's sake. Lord, help me. Oh, to own thee and to confess thee. For we are told that if we are ashamed of him before men, he will be ashamed of us before his Father, which is in heaven. Oh, I say, Lord, help me, that I might never be ashamed of thee. How oft times we have been put to the test, and how Satan goes about to trouble us and to cause us to fall into some snare or to some pit. Lord, help me, that I might not be ashamed of him, that even with our dying breath we might be able to say, my Jesus has done all things well. And will not the theme in heaven be that it is Jesus that has helped us, and not we ourselves? Oh Lord, help me. Often on the mind and speech of others, to give credit to much to some preacher, say he's a very able man. So he may be an orator, a man who is able of the command of the English language, yes. But I say, Lord, help me, that I may receive something more than that. Oh, to hear the whisper of Jesus saying, I love thee, Thou art all fair, my love, and there's no spot in thee. Oh, that my precious blood has cleansed away all your sin. Thou art forgiven, and forgiven now and forever. Friend, I must leave it here, as I'm short of breath, but nevertheless, oh, our Christ still is. Lord, help me. Oh, never to forget thee. Help me to pray to thee. Help me, Lord, to draw closer and nearer to thee, that I may find thee to be a very present help in the time of trouble. Amen.
Thank you.
answer, we pray thee the prayer of our closing hymn. But now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the teaching of thy Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.
How are you?
Hello.
What is your name?
Anita.